Hello, this is an announcement. Arsblog.com would like to make it very clear that the Arsblog.com podcast, known as the Arscast, is in no way authorized by or affiliated to Arsenal Football Club. The opinions expressed in the podcast and in the blog are in no way representative of the opinions held by Arsenal.com or Arsenal Football Club. Should you require any further clarification in this matter, please be aware that a 64-page booklet is available via our website. Thank you. Hello and welcome to another Arsblog Arscast on arsblog.com in association, as always, with oleole.com, the football community website. This is, I have to tell you, shaping up to be the shortest Arscast of all time. No blog chat on this week's Arscast because, well, there really hasn't been much to blog chat about, I suppose. I did think very late in the day about trying to find somebody in Austria who was, at the training camp and all that sort of stuff, but it was a little bit too late on my part. What else? The man in the bar is back after his week away with another player history for you. Tony Adams, I think, has some more poetry, and there's just the usual bits and pieces of waffle thrown in as well. I hope you all paid attention at the start, because that was important. And you should all be clear in your minds that this is Arsblog, and not anything else. So what's been going on since we last spoke or interacted in this kind of me-speaking-you-listening way? Well, we played our first preseason game of the season against Barnet and won 2-0. A goal from Emmanuel Adebayor. Ooh, can you hear the cops? Yeah. I hope they nab him, whoever he is. He's obviously done something bad. Anyway, two goals, one from Emmanuel Adebayor, as well as that, the other one from Nasser Barazite. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but judging by the emails I got during the week, he impressed a number of people with his ability. And it was a good goal, even though the keeper was a bit flappy of hand. We'll cover last night's game in a little while. There was the other, I suppose the biggest story of the week was a complete farce, a joke. This Rodrigo Palacio story that began on Boca Juniors blog, supposedly. Some guy who just set up a really cheap blog on Blogspot, so cheap it was free, and posted a few posts and then wrote a ridiculous post, really, about how Arsenal had faxed a bid to Boca Juniors for Palacio and it was the club record and blah, blah, blah. Somebody at the club leaked it to this blog that had only been in existence since May. I mean, you could maybe get away with it. If you're an established football blog, you could say, Arsenal are going to do this or blah, 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 blah. And if you've been around for a while and got a bit of credibility, then maybe you can get somewhere with something like that. But this thing had only been open since May. The back page of The Sun picked up the story. A journalist called Mark Irwin. Now, if the name sounds slightly familiar to you, it might be because he was the guy that wrote a lot of the articles. You might remember the first time it all kicked off about Vieira leaving, and he said that the signings that Arsene had made that summer were rubbish or whatever. Jeffers and Van Bronckhorst, Wright, and Campbell, I think, came in that summer as well. But he, you know, said some of the transfers were terrible and blah, blah, blah. And it all kicked off and it was all being done on the back page of The Sun. And the guy who wrote those stories was a guy called Mark Irwin. So, read into that what you will, how those stories came about. But it was nice to see that a well-seasoned, experienced journalist really did their work on this one. Picked it up off a crappy blog and put it on the back page of England's biggest selling newspaper. I mean, ridiculous. And he wasn't the only one. The Mail and a few of the others got caught up in the whole thing as well. Only one or two Sky Sports were involved as well, and they then put a little line in their stories going, there are reports that this could be little more than a prank. It was a very good prank. Hats off to the guy who did it. And I suppose the one thing we can take from it is that there is a populace out there, desperate and mad for transfer news, and the minute there's a sniff of anything, people are all over it, and they're going, oh, yeah, we can play him in this formation, we could play him here, we could play him there. And, you know, really, there's nothing to it. So I think it fed a little bit off the eagerness of Arsenal fans to see new signings. That said, though, we know a lot of what the newspapers put on the back pages is fiction. It's just nice, isn't it? Every now and again, when we get proof of it. Speaking of signings, Sky Sports are running a story tonight. And I saw something in Marca or AS this morning when I was flicking around the Spanish dailies, and my brain wasn't really working yet, and it's not tuned into Spanish anymore. And I sort of saw this story, but I meant to go back to it, never did. But what they're saying is, if I can just click around here and find it. Oh, for fuck's sake. Hang on. Where the fuck is it? Sky Sports. Oh, come on. Fuck. There it is. Gunners move for Starlets. Yeah, apparently we're understood. I'm not quite sure by who we're understood, but we're understood to have struck deals for South American starlets Angel de Maria, who is, of course, Angel of Mary, who will be a good guy to have around if you're, you know, faithful, and a fellow called Pedro Silva. And they're both going to be moved to Salamanca on loan or something. And then the little angel, that's Angel of Mary, he's supposed to come to Arsenal in October or something. I don't quite understand what the whole thing is about. Yeah. But, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Somebody understood that we've done this. Like we said, we don't know who. It could be out of South America. It could be from an Angel of Mary blog set up just recently in May. They wouldn't fall for it twice, so would they? They wouldn't. Anyway, look, for the moment, here's the man in the bar with the player history.
Ah, hello, there you are again now, and here I am again. Did you miss me last week, did you? Couldn't you? Anyway, I was away on a retreat, you see, because despite what you might think, I am a religious man. So I decided it was time for me to get away from the bar and the booze and all the hot dames that are after me every night of the week. It gets very fucking trying, I can tell you. Even me and Brad Pitt are often talking about it, but anyway, I decided to go back to God. So I went to the forest on a retreat where there was silence all around. I could hear the birds singing and the cows mooing and the foxes having sex with each other. And I went to a special place and I decided to pray to our Lord Jesus Christ over something very important. And I prayed every day. I prayed like a madman, so I did, running around going and praying at the same time, because that's what madmen do when they pray. And I came back and I thought, all that praying's got to pay off. But we still haven't sold Alexander Song. Now today I'm going to tell you about a fella from Northern Ireland, which isn't far from here at all. But it's a strange and dark place of which we'll talk no more. His name, you see, was Sammy Nelson, and he was a left-back, and he was descended directly from Lord Admiral Horatio Crane Nelson, who was a famous sailing around shooting fellas kind of a guy. And he had a big column, I believe. Although that could be urban legend. But Sammy Nelson, not only that, if you took the first part of his name, Sam, and then you took the last part of his name, Son, then you end up with Samson. Which meant that not only was he descended from Nelson, he was descended from Samson. And he was a powerful player, and that's why he never got his hair cut. And tell you, Don Howe used to tell him all the time, "Oh, you, Sammy Nelson, go up and get your hair cut, will you, you bloody hippie?" And he'd go, "I'm not doing it, Don Howe. You can't make me." And stuff like that. One of his most famous moments was scoring an own goal, you see, against Coventry City in 1979. But then to make up for it, sure didn't he go and score the equaliser, and he ran over and he dropped his shorts and he mooned at the crowd, prompting a little boy to say,
Look, Daddy, I can see a turtle's tail.
Oh, there was outrage, so there was, but it was all in good fun, not like the shenanigans the footballers get up to these days. Nowadays, when Sammy visits the new stadium, he puts a plaster over his chocolate starfish, just in case it all happens again.
It's true.
And the man in the bar will be back on the next Starscast, whenever that might be, because it won't be next week, so it won't. Just won't. Anyway, Arsene Wenger was talking in the week about transfers, and he said, why I signed Eduardo and Sanya, because I've been confused, not confused, but interested to see the reasoning behind signing Eduardo, obviously because he was a striker, but Sanya in particular. Looks like he's going to be playing right back. But Arsene Wenger said, I said at the end of the season, I would not necessarily buy unless I found a super player. This super player thing is... it's just there all the time, isn't it? He said, at that time in my mind, Thierry was staying. Then the Thierry situation was raised when I had him on the phone in the holidays. I could not go into the new season without a striker. When he was staying, I was buying one super-class player. The problem became different when Thierry left. Then I had to buy a striker. Also, I came to the idea to buy a fullback who can play right or left because we'll lose Emmanuel Abue and Kolo Touré during the African Nations Cup, as well as Emmanuel Adebayor. Right. So... I mean, I'm no clearer as to the man's intentions. Speaking after the game last night against Gribli Ricibididi, Nichichi, it's a Turkish pronunciation, I practiced all day on that one, but Arsenal won 3-0, two goals from Robin van Persie and one from Theo Walcott, who's having a reasonably good pre-season, it seems. He said after the game that he's definitely not interested in buying an Elka, and he thinks that he has enough strikers. He didn't say that he's not going to buy any more players, but just that he's not going to buy any more strikers. So we can assume then that the strikers we have in the squad are Van Persie, Adebayor, Eduardo, Bentner, and Walcott, I suppose, can fill in there, as well, if need be. So those are the five strikers, so... yeah, there you go. Now, you could look at it in the negative point of view, where you could say, well, one of the strikers is off to the African Cup of Nations in January. Another striker has never really got through a season uninjured. Eduardo is unproven at the highest level. Bentner only scored 10 goals for Birmingham in the Championship last season, and Theo's only 17. So... maybe that's negative, but maybe there'll be the perfect blend of striker goodness up front. I suppose where we need a signing more, if Eduardo was going to replace Henri, well, not replace Henri, but take the place of Henri in the squad, then we do need to bring in someone on the wing. And I think that's probably something that most Arsenal fans are in agreement with, that we need more of a threat from midfield, whether that's from the right or the left-hand side. Whether or not those signings depend on the sale of Freddie Ljungberg or Jose Antonio Reyes, we just don't know. Is there money for signings? There probably is, given the fact that we sold Stokes and Muamba and made 4 million quid off them, and the combined purchase of Eduardo and Sanya doesn't yet add up to the transfer fee we received from Barcelona for Thierry Henry. So assuming there was some money there in the first place, there's still some money there to buy the right kind of player. But I suppose the difficulty is in finding the right kind of player. I do think the squad is still a little bit thin, I have to say, for a challenge on all fronts next season, which is what we're expecting. But my zen-like calm has paid off in the past, hasn't it? You know, staying calm, staying easy, not getting stressed by the whole transfer thing. And a couple of transfers have happened, so I'm going to continue in that vein in the hope that that's what's causing the transfers to happen. I maybe need to be a bit more calm. I was especially calm the day we signed Eduardo, out of nowhere. I remember that day very well. Just one of those days where the calmness was there from the off. You see? And then, boom, mid-morning, up pops the story, we signed Eduardo. So I shall endeavour to stay as calm as possible today, and who knows what might happen. I think we have a fair idea, but let's hope. A little. Just a little. One tiny signing, please. Ooh, I don't even care who it is. Oh, that's a lie. I do care who it is. Imagine if we signed former 400-meter champion Chris Akabusi. That wouldn't be much good. It'd be high profile. But what good would he do to our football team? He does 400 metres hurdles. That'd be useless. On the other hand, though, he could probably teach Aboué how to, like, leap through the air and land on his feet. Like, hurdle to tackle. Maybe his signing is not such a bad idea after all. That's how bad it's got, some poetry.
Hello, and welcome to the Poetry Corner with me, Tony Adams. Now, today, I'm doing a poem about motivation. When I was manager of Wickham Wanderers, I had some players that weren't very good. So I had to try and motivate them to get the best out of them. And here is the poem that I wrote for our striker. It goes a little bit like this. Oh, Wickham Wanderers striker. I have played with some dodgy strikers in my time. Chris Ray, Cabba Diawara, Lee Chapman. But you're fucking worse than any of them. You fucking useless cunt. And that's it. Thank you very much. As a bit of a footnote, that bloke killed himself the day after I read him the poem. Some people just don't like poetry, I guess.
And we'll have more poetry on another Arsecast in the very near future. Now, there's not really an awful lot more to talk about as I sit here with the Arse Blog Basset Hound.
Yeah.
Flat on his side. He's about to start snoring now any minute, so if you hear weird rumbling noises, for once it's not my stomach. It's the dog. But there really isn't a great deal more to talk about. We've got a game, I think next Wednesday. I don't quite know who it's against, though. If I click around on Arseblog or Arsenal.com, there it is. Salzburg. Salzburg. What a wonderful team to play against. What do we know about Salzburg? Well, we know it's the fourth largest city in Austria, and also the capital of the federal state of Salzburg. Salzburg's old town, with its world-famous Baroque architecture, is one of the best-preserved city centres in the German-speaking world, and was listed as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1997. The city is noted for its alpine setting. It's the birthplace of Mozart, that's John Mozart and the other one, and the setting for parts of the musical and film The Sound of Music. Salzburg is also a student city with three universities and a massive inflatable pig, which acts as its self-defense mechanism against attack from terrible barbarians. You really should be careful about getting your information from Wikipedia. You see, it doesn't even work when you talk about Salzburg. I don't know anything about the Salzburg football team at all, but I presume it's just one of those games where the boys will, you know, ease themselves back into the football and take it from there. The Emirates Cup is taking place next weekend. Unfortunately, I won't be able to see any of it, I don't think, as I'm going away next week. So that's why there's no Arsecast. And I don't think it's going to be possible for me to go away for 1 week and convince Mrs. Bloggs that we need to go to an English bar who might just have Sky Sports, who might be showing some of the Arsenal against whoever the fuck it is we're playing. Inter Milan and Valencia and PSG. So I don't know which of those we're actually playing. So yeah, that's why. So next week on the blog, Tom will be here. I did try and convince Tom to do an Arsecast, but he said, fuck off. Essentially. And who can blame him? Not me. But he will be here with you from Wednesday on the blog for a week, bringing you all the Arseblog goodness in that inimitable Tom style, which is bald. It's a bald style of writing. You can tell that I have more hair than Tom by the way we write. I don't have a great deal more than Tom, but some. So, that's what's happening next week. For now, though, it's time to say goodbye. To be honest, there's not much else to talk about. No special guests this week. It's a pre-holiday Arsecast. You know that kind of way when you've got, you know, you've got work to do before you go on your holidays, but you just go, I'm going on my holidays. It'll be fine. It'll be grand. When I come back, I'll sort it out. That's what it's like. So apologies for that if you're expecting something interesting and good today. I'll talk to you on the next Arscast, which is the week after next. And until Wednesday on the blog, take it easy. Bye.
Hello, my name is Robert Senderos, and I would like to point out that I am not in any way connected with or affiliated to Philip Senderos, who is an Arsenal player. I am a chartered accountant. Sometimes it's important to make the distinction that even though two things have completely different names, some people might just get confused. So I am not Philip Senderos. Thank you.